Buccaneers fans, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is along for the ride, and it's all presented by the best place to get a ride in town, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. That means 61 years in Tampa, on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Family-owned service. Curry family's name is on it, and they are still there, working, leading the dealership, along with the boss, GM, Sean Sullivan. And they want to help you personally. They want to help our community every way they can, and everything they do reflects that. If you've got a car you want, you got a truck you want, you want to get money for a trade, you want some advice because you need a vehicle, your son's going to commute to USF for the next couple of years, you want to get out of a lease, whatever it is, you reach out to Sean Sullivan. He will help you personally by email. You want to go into the dealership. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Sean is just eager to help, and so many listeners have taken him up on it, and I really haven't heard of anybody unhappy with it. We are friends of Sean, friends of the Bill Curry Ford family, and we all endorse them heartily. We all drive their vehicles. We've all referred a lot of people there. Bill Curry Ford. It starts with Sean Sullivan. Just ask him for help. He wants to help you. And even if you end up somewhere else, go to Sean first. He will guide you. He'll give you honest feedback on whatever you're looking for. Of course, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And Florida's Elite Restoration. This time of year, you need to be armed with who to call if you have a disaster in your home, with a storm, with a leak, with mold, after a storm, whatever it is. You call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. They're going to answer the phone. They're going to respond to you super quickly, and that most likely means sending somebody out to your home for a free assessment of what's happening. So you don't call your insurance company immediately and get ripped off and get sent down the wrong path. The next thing you know, they're taking a recorded statement from you and all kinds of things. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're experts. They're honest. We know them. Ira knows them. We've had many listeners use them. And they're going to give you a free assessment, tell you how they can help and what the process might be, and you go from there. Be smart. Florida's Elite Restoration. Now, Sage isn't here today. No Ira. And let me tell you why. We here at JoeBucksFan.com, we record the podcasts. We don't miss podcasts. We never really have like we have over the last couple of weeks with the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And it's been a whole mix of a bunch of things. Ira's on vacation, and his vacation is a little longer than he expected it to be, or at least what he told me and Lee it was going to be. I don't know. We have to get to the bottom of that a little bit. But Ira can mix up a number or two here and there, a date. But also we had the storm, and that set us back a little bit, and but not too much. But I had a personal thing come up that made me run out of town, and Lee had his Vegas vacation lined up. And, you know, we just decided, take a deep breath. It's okay if we miss some podcasts. The world's not going to end. We'll just make up for them because we want to do a certain amount per month. And it's twice a week is typically how we go. But you know what? We can catch up. We can bring it to Bucks fans. And this is the first of two podcasts that are going to be available today on Sunday. And then we were leading up to training camp kicks off next Sunday. Sage will be back this week. We'll do something before the training camp, and then we're going to do multiple days on training camp and really get flying here into the season. But we really appreciate all the outpouring from so many listeners. I mean, we know that we have thousands of subscribers, close to 5,000 subscribers. We estimate some platforms don't provide those numbers. And then there are many more listeners just on the website. But the outpouring, people wondering if something bad happened to Ira, or just in general, it's really heartwarming, especially this time of year when there's not a lot of Bucks action going on. But this will be a wild week with the ring ceremony, before that, the White House, and then it all starts flying. And as Bucks fans, and that's really what we are here, Bucks fans, this is just a beautiful season to kick off when you know the team is great, when there's greatness everywhere, there's greatness in the coaching staff, there's so much confidence, full house of a sold-out games coming up. And, damn it, we deserve this as Bucks fans. And the thought of being consistently good this season. Yeah, there'll be ups and downs, but to be consistent and strong and cruise to a first round bye and the excitement that that would bring going into the playoffs, man, I freaking can't wait. And I know you're all in that same boat. So, all right, enough of me talking. I appreciate it. We, again, have another podcast coming. I think I might even pull in an old nugget from the Sage. Let's go. So let's get after it here. Bring Lee DeCamper in here. Lee, Tom Brady, we're going to go right to the goat, the farm animal, as you call him, or you don't want to call him, or whatever it is. I can't say all the monikers. I don't have them all memorized. Lee, Tom Brady, the report now is he played the whole season with a torn MCL, whether that's fully torn, partially torn, whatever. A lot of guys get that injury. They're out 2 to 4 weeks, or they need a little surgery in the season. But Brady, you know, I hear the news and I hear the hype and I hear it going to the mystique, but can we really believe it? Are we ready to forget immediately that the guy told us 90% of what he says is BS? Now, I know he didn't say it, but it's a little odd that it's coming out now. Either way, it's what do you think?
Well, I mean, you made a great point. Ever since he said 90% of his press conferences are BS, I really don't know what they ever consider from him being the truth. However, the truth is one thing, and a medical report is quite a different thing. Whoever leaked this information, I got a pretty good idea that a couple of people who did or may have, because I know who Rappaport talks to. I don't know why they, well, the more I think about it, maybe there would be a way to, let's shall we say, stretch the truth, to be polite. It adds to the Brady mystique. It adds to the Brady legend. It freaks out. You know, you said on a previous podcast, he does everything that's calculated. Now you sort of wonder, my gosh, he did this on one leg. He won a Super Bowl. He carried this losing ass franchise to a Super Bowl championship on one leg. Oh my gosh, next year. So maybe this is a little bit calculated to freak out opponents, put this in the back of their mind that, my gosh, this guy one-legged and he won a Super Bowl. What's he going to do with two? Oh my gosh. And to screw with people's minds? Maybe. I lean toward this is accurate, but I could see where it would be some really well-thought-out scam.
Yeah, we don't know exactly when it happened, and an MCL isn't necessarily a serious rehab or a super long rehab, so you have to wonder if it was really early, why wouldn't he have just had it done? I get that he didn't want to miss training camp and understood the risks, but it's all very strange, and it just adds to the mystique, and I'm sure it'll show up in a book somewhere, maybe the one that Ira's working on, you know, when it actually happened, when he realized it, when they talked about it. But I guess this goes back to Brady and other injuries that he's had that, hey, if they tell him he can play through it, he'll figure out a way. It's crazy news. Lee, we're marching toward training camp. We, of course, have already told everyone that Ira's on sabbatical. He's on vacation. He's making up his mind for what he's calling the biggest and baddest season in Buccaneers history coming up. What do you think, Chris Godwin? Is he going to be a man with a new contract?
I mean, this we went through this with Shaq last year. And before you know it, Shaq was signed. I know Godwin was interviewed about this, two, 3 weeks ago. It might have been NFL Network. And he said, well, it's a good thing because the Bucs want the same thing I want. I want to stay, and the Bucs want. He said, we're just trying to figure out how to come to an agreement. He had an opportunity to blast the Bucs if he wanted to, or blast negotiations, or to say he was being undercut, whatever. And he didn't. He took the high road. Now, that may be because Godwin's a good dude. He's But I'm not too worried. Again, they've got time. They went through this with Shaq. And what is interesting is, and I wrote this article on JoeBucksFanning.com, I honestly don't know who is more valuable to the Bucks right now as we speak for the next year or two. It was Godwin, who's obviously a free agent, likely a free agent at the end of the year, or Ryan Jensen, who is likely a free agent at the end of the year. I got to figure Brady would rather have Jensen than Hainsey as a center, and I think that's an interesting topic. Who do the Bucks need more? You can make an argument. It might be Jensen, much as I love Godwin, but the Bucks don't have a depth, a corral, so to speak, of centers like they do receivers.
Yeah, it's a good question, but I'm going to say Godwin is more valuable. When you have two good guards, you can kind of find a center off the street to just do his job, or, you know, get a center somewhere who can just be capable and get it done, where I don't think you're going to find a guy off the street to kind of get the job done like Godwin has. But Godwin, of course, is in a sea of super talented receivers. So maybe when it comes to the Bucs specifically, Jensen is more valuable because, you know, they have so much talent at receiver. It's a little messy, but I think given that Jensen is a guy who loves to stuff his face with barbecue and isn't necessarily a picture of fitness, he's not a vegan obsessed with his performance like Ali Marpet is. He's not young. You know, next year he's 31 years old. Maybe they're thinking, hey, get rid of Jensen a year too soon instead of a year too late. But it is an interesting discussion as to who's more valuable given the really tight window of the Tom Brady Bucks.
My guess is they work out something with Godwin, and Jason Light franchises Jensen to keep him around one more year with Brady. Then after that, whether it be Hainsey, whether it be a guy off the street, as you suggested, they'll move on from Jensen for all the reasons you pointed out.
Yeah, and Jensen's a madman. There's, you know, he's obviously an excellent player. I'm not comparing him to some dude off the street. And when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, it's a little different story. But I think you can replace the center a little bit sooner and faster when the talent's good around him. And, you know, it's one reason why centers aren't really drafted anywhere near as high as the other positions, because just right now in the league, they're not valued in the same kind of way. You know, we want to keep everybody. We're greedy. Bucks fans have become crazy greedy with them keeping 22 starters plus Antonio Brown, plus bringing back just about every single reserve. And we want to keep the train moving here. But Godwin's a really interesting piece, and they're not going to give up on the guy. Although I still will still say, and fans won't like it, he still has yet to prove that he can be a number one top dog receiver without Mike Evans around.
That's fair.
You know, it's just sort of an unknown. And watching the Buccaneers in the current, that Hard Knock style feature this last episode on Wednesday night, they focused a lot on Chris Godwin and his drops in the playoffs. And that was kind of interesting because, yeah, in all the hoopla, you kind of forgot a little bit how he had KY hands against Washington, and then he had a big drop against Green Bay before making up for it late in the game with a huge catch. And these things happen, but Tom Brady himself, Lee, he talked about how some guys, and he's been around all these years, he said, you know, some guys have a fear of failure that paralyzes them, especially in the big games. And Brady said he's seen it many times. Now, he was talking about the context later about how that fear of failure does not hit Leonard Fournette. But if you watch the way the production value was, you kind of felt like, hey, maybe he was talking about Godwin a little bit, just the way they put it together. But, you know, it's an interesting question. Is Godwin a top five receiver, top 10 receiver in the NFL if he's on his own on a typical team that doesn't have this kind of talent around him?
Very fair. That's a very fair question, because no one's going to leave Mike Evans on some lousy cornerback. You know, they're going to put the best cornerback on Evans most of the time, especially if Godwin's in the slot. You know, that's usually a slot corner or even a safety. Maybe if someone's really stupid, a linebacker. We don't know if Godwin's a true number one or not. Although Mike Evans told me he was, so I'll take his word.
Yeah, he is. It's just a question of, is he a $20 million number one that they want to invest in when they have all these other guys? But if they don't get a deal done, they'll have to see how it goes. I mean, if Antonio Brown this season has some wild breakout year with, and not that he needs to break out because he's Antonio Brown, but if he can sort of channel his Pittsburgh days and have a dozen touchdowns and 75 receptions and 1,100 yards, then all of a sudden you start to wonder, we could get Antonio Brown at his age for 2 years, $25 million, and sort of say, thanks a lot, Chris. We appreciate it. And, you know, play some other games and bring back a Jensen and all that. So maybe it won't come to that, considering they freaking found a way to re-sign everybody this year.
I don't think they'll have to worry about the salary cap a whole lot, because salary cap is jumping big time next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys to re-sign, and you know, they found a way to work money out. They can always keep kicking the can down the road. But at some point, the Glazers and Light. I mean, they have to have a plan for the future, but hey, we'll all take them mortgaging whatever they got to do to win a Super Bowl again, and we'll deal with it in 2024. If they suck, who cares?
Exactly.
Now, look, we have got to say something about Monty Kiffin. Did his little news conference today. He was all fired up. I didn't realize that he was still coaching at Ole Miss as a, you know, as sort of a defensive consultant. I thought he had really legitimately retired, but he's just a lifer, 80 years old, wanting to grind this out in the college ranks. That takes a lot of passion to keep doing that the way he's been doing it. And he even said, you know, he's got a bad back. Walking isn't so easy. You know, Tom Moore, who's a lot older than he is, he's moving around. He's, you know, participating in workouts with guys as far as really showing them what to do and getting down and dirty. And he's having his Manhattans, you know, after practice. And it's a little different. It looks like Kiffin's a little bit slower. But one thing he said, he put a nugget out there, and I looked it up, Lee. Actually, Brian Glazer mentioned that Kiffin had a stretch of 50 consecutive games where his defense has had at least one sack and one takeaway, 50 in the same game.
Wow.
Which I was like, damn, that almost seems impossible. So I looked it up.
That's about 4 years?
3 years. So I looked it up last season, 2020, the Bucks had two games with no takeaway and one game without a sack. That was against the Rams. So as well as that defense played last year and as well as they rushed the quarterback, they didn't even get a new streak going.
That's incredible. The thing that jumped out at me about Monty Kiffin, first, the passion. You look at him and, okay, he's old. He's in his 80s. He looks every bit a grandfather. I mean, I even wrote that he's hunched over like you dropped a set of keys and you're looking for the keys. He looks old. But when he got to talking, it was like that passion, my gosh, and he slaps the podium. That's the way I think. That's my philosophy. I'm not changed. Like, holy smokes. But he said something that I vividly remember reading in Wade Phillips' autobiography. Effort. Effort. You got to hustle. Effort. And he goes, you know, basically, Monty Kiffin said, I'll take a guy who hustles over a talented guy. Because the guy who hustles, he's always going to make a play. And I thought that was really interesting because that's exactly what Wade Phillips said in his book. You don't have to be a five-star player. Don't be a first-round draft pick. He could be some scrub from the sticks. And if you give effort, you're going to put yourself in position to make plays. And I just thought that here are two guys that in the last 20, 25 years are considered probably the best defensive coordinators that were going. And they both, that same core philosophy, effort. Effort.
We're not saying that coaches don't preach effort, all of them. It's like every defensive coach preaches takeaways. But
yeah,
in the Tony Dungy, in the little montage that they showed, Tony Dungy was quoted saying that Kiffin coached energy and effort and enthusiasm, and not every coach does that whatsoever. They just don't have the ability to do that, and you have to really coach it and sustain that coaching. You can't be some rah-rah phony. It's got to be who you are, and Kiffin tried to make that point.
Of course, the very first thing out of his mouth, you got to rush the passer. Well, that's right up my alley.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've made a couple of notes here. I didn't see him when I was talking before, but just going back to Chris Godwin real quick. He said about those many drops against Washington football team, or WTF as we call them, he said it rattled me. And he said he was rattled by those drops. Then they went over to Brady saying regarding playing in tough, cold playoff games, quote, some players elevate. And the sort of the implication was that, well, maybe Chris Godwin didn't elevate. It was interesting the way they put that together. You know, obviously the Buccaneers, it's an in-house production. They're making everything look rosy in a lot of ways, and interesting editing there. But, you know, we're nitpicking the Buccaneers. You know, obviously won the Super Bowl. Godwin's a superstar. And we'll see what they do, though. They've got to keep making superstar decisions so they can keep this this train going a long time. You talked about effort, Lee. It only takes a tiny little bit of extra effort to drink Big Storm beer. No, Big Storm beer is not everywhere, but it's getting pretty close. So all you have to do is go to bigstormbrewery.com. The website has been redesigned. It's prominent right there. You can put your zip code in the storm tracker, and they'll tell you where to find it. Liquor stores, establishments, and of course their tap rooms are open, serving incredible food and all the great Big Storm beers. Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale, Wavemaker Amber Ale. So many classics. Sunny Key Lime, really popular right now in the summer, and another growing core beer that they have there. BigStormBrewery.com. The tap rooms in Odessa off 54, flagship location in Clearwater, outdoor seating, 3,000 plus square feet. It's where Ira's going to be all season long, watching road games with Bucks fans again. And they've got the tap room in the Amway Center, open every single day, accessible from the outside. Beautiful brand new location. Cape Coral and Ybor City is coming soon.
And I noticed on Instagram, they're canning Oktoberfest beer. And believe it or not, folks, Oktoberfest, technically, if you go by the Germans, that starts in late September. It doesn't start in October. It starts in September. And September, believe it or not, is not that far away. Hey, we're staring right at the start of training camp. So you know football season is right around the corner. Nothing goes better than mixing Big Storm and Bucks football.
Absolutely. Lee, I got to say this. You brought up training camp, and it's kind of funny in some ways, you know, and I understand what Ali Marpet was saying, but I watched him on this interview that he did with his alma mater, Hobart University. You know, he's like Willie Mays or Ray Lewis at Hobart, and he's the ultimate hero over there. And so he did this extensive interview, wrote a lot about it at joebucksfan.com, but I threw out a nugget there today. Marpet was saying about the 17th game, he was adamant, hey, 17th game is fine, but you just have to go easier in training camp. You need less practice during the week. You need to cut down all the hitting through the year to make up for this game. Otherwise, it's fine. And, you know, it makes you think about the old school players and what they would say to this. Meanwhile, they cut one preseason game, and plenty of teams don't even play their starters in the preseason, like the Rams and other teams. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand where Marpet's coming from, but, you know, it's like, hey, you know, is it really the best thing to do to make practice easier during the week just to get a 17th game in? You know, it's something a lot of guys are going to be talking about this year. Hopefully it doesn't get in their heads too much, because that could be a problem, especially since Bruce Arians keeps saying, I don't really believe him, but he keeps saying he's going to run a super tough training camp.
Well, the key here is last year proved you don't need to have a Bear Bryant type of training camp, much less preseason games. That was proven. Points were up, penalties were down. People like Pat Kerwin were like, oh my gosh, you know, the apocalypse is upon us. There's hardly any offseason. They're hardly back on training camp. Oh my gosh, you know, everyone and their brother's going to have an Achilles injury. It's going to be sloppy football until November. And it was, and none of that happened. So, you know, I've been harping on preseason. And the main reason I hate preseason games, I don't want to see guys get hurt, you know, starters. So, you know, when people are talking about, well, you know, we have to have this practice. And, well, that was sort of proven unnecessary last year. And also, here's the thing about Marpet. Marpet's what, 27, 28? He's on a second contract, obviously looking for a third. He's getting to be about the age where he's looking at longevity. Brady is by far an exception. So these guys are looking at longevity. And Russell Wilson, I was listening to NFL radio today. You know, Russell Wilson started harping last offseason about he's getting hit too much. Well, why is he talking about that? They're winning, but he's whining about getting hit too much. Well, he's looking at longevity. He sees Breeze. He sees Brady. He sees Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers is getting up there, too. He wants to be like that. He wants to stay in the league another 10 years and collect how many millions of dollars a year, multiply that by 10. And I think Ali Marpet is reaching that. And I'm not saying that's a negative. But I think he's looking at his longevity, and he thinks, well, you know, if I get you add X amount more hits I'm going to take, and nobody gets beat up more than the lineman, you add up all these extra hits I'm going to take because of an extra game, is that going to be two less seasons I get to play? I think that's a big element, not fully, but he's also looking about, you know, playoffs, staying healthy in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Lee. Russell Wilson's actually 32. Marpet is in that 28 ballpark, so little bit different positions, but I hear what you're saying. It you know, these guys all start thinking about, you know, what one extra year means and what another $10 million will look like in their portfolios and for their families and all that. But one thing that I think is interesting, you know, you made the comment, I know you've written about it, the penalties down, points up last year. My gut tells me that when the truth comes out on last season, that somehow, some way, we're going to learn that the NFL gave the word to the officials to, you know, let them play. That we don't
first, that was my first thought. When I heard that, that's the first thing that went through my mind. I wonder if the NFL told the referees, keep the flags in your pocket.
Yeah, given where the country was and with, you know, people looking at the game skeptically and what's it going to look like and all the assumptions, like you said, from the media that, oh, it's going to be a mess and this and that. I think the smart guys at the NFL, and they're super smart at making money, decided, hey, swallow your whistles and let the points flow, let everything flow, and, you know, let the offenses do their thing and, you know, call pass interference, but that's about it. I think they let a lot of holding go and, you know, kept the chains moving. And but still, the product was good. It was entertaining. And they certainly proved that you don't need the preseason if you want a good product. You may not like the way it develops players for future years, but at least in the short term, you can thrive beautifully without preseason.
If I was a team owner, here is the negotiation I would make with the coaches and say, oh, we can't develop players. And Arians is one of those guys. He's been griping about that's X amount of snaps these guys lose in practice. That's development. Here is the negotiation I would make. If you're on a rookie contract, you're playing preseason games. If you're not on a rookie contract, you're not dressing. Sort of like a spring training game where they might have a couple of vet in baseball. They might have a couple of veterans and the rest of them are scrubs. I would negotiate. Say, okay, we'll have preseason games, but veterans will not be required to even dress.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's tough, though, because some guys like to play in the preseason. And,
Brady.
You know, Brady and Mike Evans has said in the past he likes to play one preseason game. He feels that helps him get rolling, you know, get his timing down. So it's hard to legislate that for the players. But, you know, I agree with Arians, though, on this level. I think it just sort of gets glossed over a little bit. Long term, not having these extra practices and preseason games, it's going to hurt your development of players.
Because, Keyshawn Vaughn, probably.
Yeah, like a Keyshawn Vaughn, if there's no preseason, well, you know, this year there's three preseason games, he might get 55 carries. And that's going to, you know, enhance his development. And there's no way to say it won't, you know, and then there's the practicing and all that. So the more you cut it back, those bottom of the roster guys who might emerge in 4 years, like Ernest Graham did, you know, they're probably not going to emerge. But I think on a 1 or 2 year window, you don't need those games at all. And that's how these coaches look at it, who are not like Arians, like the Sean McVays and others. They just want to, you know, they got more of a win now immediately mentality versus, hey, let's have 36 coaches coaching on two fields and develop all these guys and it'll pay off one day. So it'll be interesting going forward for the league, especially if they go to 18 games, two preseason games, and then everybody's just going to want to play one series in preseason. And yeah, but of course, more of these joint practices are going to pop up. The Bucs are hosting Tennessee this year. And you've said it before in different ways. At some point, the NFL is just going to say, hey, look, everybody's got to do a joint practice, and we're going to monetize it, and it's going to be on TV. And the scrimmage will be, you know, 30 minutes of or 1 hour of running time or something like that, and they'll find a way to make some cash out of it.
Yeah, $25 online. Go to BuccaneersScout.com, $25 for an hour's worth of controlled scrimmages.
Yeah, or they'll just you know, put a big old sponsor on it, and it'll be free, and who knows, you know, who knows how they'll do it. But you mentioned Brady playing in the preseason, Lee. I wanted to mention that, and of course to remind everybody that you need a vehicle. Truck, car, used vehicle, whatever it is, you need personal service because you want everything to be smooth. That means you call Bill Curry Ford. You go to Bill Curry Ford a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. You go to BillCurryFord.com. As I said earlier, Sean Sullivan is your point man. He is the GM. You just tell him what kind of help you need, even if it's just questions about your lease, getting out of it, getting into something else. You're planning for 3 months down the road. Sean will help you any way he can. BillCurryFord.com. Tom Brady, Lee, I looked this up and I was blown away by the numbers, you know, considering how much we know of Brady's value with the Bucs. But you look at Brady in 2017, 2018, and 2019, the guy was in his 40s still, coming off great seasons, all, you know, 16, 17, and 18. He was coming off all Super Bowl seasons. When they went to three in a row, they didn't win three in a row. And the guy threw 80 passes over three preseasons total. I mean, for him to drop back 80 freaking times and run the risk of getting belted like that. You know, Brady plays in the preseason. He did it with Belichick, and I have to believe that was Brady saying, I got to play, Bill, you know, with Belichick probably having really no interest at all in throwing him out there.
You would think Belichick wouldn't do that, you know, because it's Brady. You don't want to put your quarterback at risk. But, you know, Brady's a workaholic. We all know that. So it's not really surprising. And he wants to play those preseason games. He wants to get his timing down, et cetera. Speaking of Brady and working out, I don't know how many people caught this. It's a very nice thing to see for Bucks fans. But Brady obviously was working out up in Montana. Had some, by the way, he had his ex-Patriots wide receivers up there. No Bucks wide receivers. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if that was like a mini Patriots reunion or that just looked a little bit odd. But anyway, Brady was, you know, had a little workout with these guys, throwing the ball around. No knee brace.
He's healthy, yeah, but bottom line. Sign. And with Brady, all that stuff is calculated, I believe. He wants to show the league.
That's true.
That I'm fine. Don't go after my knee. Nothing to see here. It's all good. And I'm sure he feels great, but nothing with Brady is not calculated, in my opinion. And, yeah, I'm sure it sounded like a Patriots reunion, which is fine, you know. And I'm sure Brady was dying to do that. You know, it's a poke in the eye to the Patriots fans and all all the people who are all over Bill Belichick for a rough season and not necessarily having a plan at quarterback, so or a good plan at quarterback. So, yeah, it's fun stuff. It's fun stuff.
Hey, I want to circle back real quick to what you were saying about smart guys in the NFL. Aren't you eager to see Mike Florio pour over the open record finances of Robert Creepy Kraft?
Oh, yeah, if they get screwed on that lawsuit and have to open some books, I mean, yeah, Florio will be all over it with a microscope. But, yeah, those guys don't want – they'll settle that lawsuit so they don't have to open their books. There's no way they're going to do that.
Jerry Jones finances strip clubs. When it was on strip clubs.
Absolutely.
Hey, Leon, tell your story again about how you charged the Cowboys. You tried to bum rush your way on the Cowboys bus at Combine one year.
Well, they just didn't let me on. You know, I didn't have the right credentials. I didn't try to rush it. I just, you know, didn't work.
Now who was on that? I can't think. Dean Blandino, Jay Glazer, Jerry Jones, and there was somebody else, wasn't there?
I don't know. It was after midnight. These things happen. You know, it's just the way it goes. One thing in that in the current video, Lee, which was really stood out because of his history, saying things like this and the timing of it. Lavonte David, he was looking back on the opening playoff game at Washington, which was closer than a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
And he said, quote, "We knew that we kind of would be able to win that football game on talent." And I heard that. And I'm like, Tom Brady would never say such a thing.
Yep.
And that's just like, it's a mentality that is the kind of mentality that just can't exist. And it's a kind of, you know, David through the years has said things like that as well. We had the wrong mentality, one of his favorite words. And he had that famous quote in 2016 or 15. I think it was 15. When they lost the opening day, and David talked about how Major Wright had a penalty, a flagrant foul, it was called for a personal foul for a late hit or something, dangerous hit, and he said it blew the whole mentality of the team, and they didn't recover.
Play of the game, right?
Yeah, first snap, a defensive snap. So
okay.
You can Google that. It was just shocking for years. And obviously David's a warrior. He's a great player, but it was a weird kind of quote for a team that was in its first playoff game in 13 years where they may have sort of been thinking they were had too much for the opponent.
I just can't imagine that team finally gets to the playoff and like, okay, we got this. And you're right. Lavonte David, almost every time he speaks, it's about mentality. He always talks about mentality. And, you know, DeMar Dotson told you, I'll never forget it, you went down to Arizona when the Bucks played down there, and DeMar Dotson told you that they thought they had that game won. They only needed to show up, and they got their rear ends handed to them. Well, you know, who was on that team? Lavonte David. I just wonder, some of these guys, if they still have some kind of, to use Lavonte David's words, mentality in them that, I don't know. I just, you know, hey, they won the Super Bowl, I can't complain, but that's, I guess old habits die hard. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, and I hope it's a situation where, you know, obviously that was his first playoff game, and now he's got four under his belt in the Super Bowl ring. You should be a totally different player with totally different level of experience and a whole different caliber of ball player once you've made a title and won a title. But
and he had a hell of a game in the Super Bowl.
Really surprising, again, because it's just not something you would hear Tom Brady say.
No, not at all.
You know, hey, hopefully that's all gone. Lee, got to ask you before we get the hell out of here, the way everything is shaking out, are you seeing anything, hearing anything in the media that's surprising you from as far as the spin of the team, the way they're being portrayed? You know, I know there's a lot of hype for the Chiefs. I wrote about how I think the networks, it's obvious now to me that they want Patrick Mahomes back. He's the sexy young guy. The Chiefs three-peat is a fun thing to talk about. I didn't know there was a three-peat when you lost the Super Bowl and got your doors blown off, that you're three-peating something. But I just feel like the Bucs aren't going to be any kind of darlings this year, that aside from everybody wanting to knock them off, the media wants them gone too. Brady, it was a nice story last year, but Arians is an old man. Brady's boring. You know, these other Bucs, yeah, it's some nice stories, but, you know, nobody that we feel is the next face of the league, except there is a lot of love for Devin White out there, who may just be somebody who could transcend the Bucs into a super lovable darling of the league.
Here's what I've noticed, and maybe I'm the only one. I haven't heard anybody mention this. Seems like the Chiefs, there's a lot of sour grapes about that Super Bowl. From the night they lost up until this past week when you heard Kelce saying, or Tyreek Hill saying they were shellacked. But it's a lot of popping off by the Chiefs, whereas the Bucks, at least it comes across, at least to me, comes across as they're good winners. They're not shooting off their mouth. They're not saying, hey, these guys were garbage. You guys were overrated. The Chiefs, they've been pretty much above board. Outside of maybe Sean Murphy Bunting's going on Twitter and saying, wait a minute, three field goals? That's all you could do? You know, to me, that's not really being an ass or anything. It just seems like the Chiefs are popping off and the Bucks are kind of like, okay, whatever, scoreboard, big deal, next. Let's get ready for this season. It's almost like regular business. Next up, and the Chiefs are popping off. It's like the Chiefs are very bitter about that Super Bowl. All but basically saying it was a fluke.
I agree with you completely there. And, you know, of course, when you win, you're not going to be demeaning to your opponent more.
Well, some guys are. Some guys like, you know, these guys had no business being on the field with us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But not the Bucks.
Yeah, you're right. I think a function of what's going on, at least, is that the Bucks, they're such a big favorite in the NFC as of right now because there's so many questions around the NFC. The conference isn't very good as it sits right now, at least in my opinion. Of course, there's a ton of hope and hype for what Dak Prescott will do coming back to the Cowboys. But if the Bucs win that opening day, you know, all of a sudden, it's just like they're looked at as the huge favorites to go back, bringing everybody back. And I think that's got, you know, some of the national perception working against them. Like, yeah, well, what else can we say about the Bucs? Everybody's back. They're great. Let's try to knock them off.
That's a good point. And when anyone mentions, you know, pounding Dallas on opening night, which I would love, don't get me wrong, I can't help but think how the Bucks absolutely manhandled the Eagles in 2003 season, to open the season up in Philadelphia after they won their first Super Bowl. Manhandled. I remember my dad told me, because I don't know who's going to beat the Bucks. Well, they never made the playoffs. So that's in the back of my head. Like, okay, they should beat the Cowboys. I would love for them to stomp on the Cowboys. Even sweeter, it would be on national TV. But immediately I think of that Eagles game where the Bucs looked so dominant that night, and yet they never made the playoffs.
As we sit here still enjoying the Buccaneers Super Bowl win, it's hard to believe that actually happened, because it's impossible to think of the Bucs going out there and going 7-9 this year. But I think, and we'll wrap it up on this, Lee, I think it just comes back to, like you said before, and as every Bucks fan knows, and as they say as they go to bed, and when they wake up in the morning, we got Tom Brady. Tom Brady doesn't let that happen. He never has. Never had that losing season even. And so, we got to rest our laurels and our heads on the pillow on that.
There you go. You can't go wrong with Brady.
And what I was thinking, Lee, maybe for the next podcast that we do, I think maybe we'll play a little joke on Ira. Maybe we'll play a little gag on him. Maybe
I'll call him?
Yeah, like I think maybe I'll get my wife to call him, and we'll play a little joke on him and air it on the podcast as he's on vacation. I got to think that through, but maybe we'll even ask Javier if he's willing to do that and help pull something off. You know, I think
you're going to do something really ornery, like call him up and said Tony Dungy was in a wreck and he may not survive.
I don't know. We got to brainstorm it. You know, if anybody anybody who's listened to the podcast all the way through here, you know, obviously you enjoy the podcast. We appreciate your support. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe all over the place and listen on the website. But if you have any ideas for a good gag that we could play on Ira as he's on vacation and record the phone call, this is a phone call kind of gag, we can get someone to call him. We can get this done. Email Joe at joebucksfan.com. Lee and I will put our heads together, and we've got a little time to F with Ira.
Bette Midler retiring? Would that get him going?
I don't know. Maybe we could get Dirk Cutter to call him and yell at him or something. I don't know. We'll think about it. All right, Lee, get out of here.
And don't worry, hardcore Ira fans. He's coming back. He's going to be better than ever. Don't worry. In the meantime, remember, buildcurryford.com. That's where you can shop for a vehicle immediately, 24/7. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Remember them whenever you have a disaster in your home. That's your first call, so you don't get ripped off by your insurance company and you get a free assessment. And Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters, the Ira Kaufman podcast, and it's Florida's best craft beer.